I'm gospelprofessor.podbean.com. Again, gospelprofessor.podbean.com. Or you can go to your iTunes podcast, that little purple icon, press the button, and put in 10:10, 10/10 minute prayer, prayer Bible study. I cannot talk today, y'all. And if you do that, then you should see us come up. We're well over 30,000 downloads are out there, amen, that people are viewing, people are downloading from all around the world. We have over 700 episodes out there. So you can get a different word from God every single day via the Safe House Church, amen. So all that is free. It should be a blessing to you. There's something, and I tell you this, and those who follow the podcast will tell you, we do not have repeats. Excuse me. We do not have repeats. And you can go through all 700 messages and you will not find a repeat. Amen. I don't believe in handing out stale bread. Oh, come on, somebody. I don't hand out stale bread, but there's a fresh word from the Lord. And I'm grateful for that. All right. So now, in the spirit of Black History Month, I wanted to talk to you today about a lady. Let's talk about a lady. It's Valentine's Day. Let's talk about the ladies a little bit. The lady I want to talk to you a little bit today is named Bathsheba. I want us to get into, I ask that you have your minds and your hearts open, and I'm willing to almost guarantee that you've never heard this story approached the way that I'm going to approach it today. I believe this is unique. I believe this is what God has given me as a scholar of the word and reading the word. And God dropped this in my spirit. And I was like, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Never even thought about it like that. Maybe some have. But, you know, but I have the platform to be able to present what I believe is to be a mighty word to you on today. So now we'll start out with this. So we know that Bathsheba, the Bible tells us that she was the daughter of Elam and that her husband was a Hittite. Many believe that if you follow the lineage, that she could possibly, that she was a woman of color. And I told you all, if you watched and you follow us on last week, we talked about where this color thing came from. We talked about where this race thing came from, that people were really known more about what region of the country, what region of the world they come from. They were known by the region that they come from. This is why we say Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you would say this one of, you know, Galilee, and this one of Nineveh. You know, they would say what? They would give the name of where they come from. That's how they categorize people. The race issue came into play when it came about being able to categorize things. I told you all last week, and I hope that you did your homework, that when we do not understand the things as people, we make them up. I kid you not. I told you all about scientific inquiry. When we're doing something in science, what we do, we give our best guess. That's what they call it. Go read it. They call it a hypothesis. We give our best guess. And now we spend the rest of our time either trying to prove or disprove that our guess was correct. Amen. We spend the rest of our time trying to prove or disprove that that guess is correct. So they make it up. So a lot of these things have been made up, and they make them up to what? To fit the things that they need to do. So we talked about that on last week. I asked that you go back and get the replay. Go listen to the podcast. It'll be posted today, and I'm sure it will bless you. So now in that same vein, one of the things I think God has given me as being a professor by trade is that I think about things much deeply, and I often think about them differently than other people think. And it's not that, you know, I'm better than anybody. It's just that, you know, this is the vein that God has given me. And I've gotten to the point now that I have confidence in what I believe God has given me, and I'm able to say it, cry aloud and spare not. Amen. That I'm able to stand on my 2 feet. That I'm able to stand about my loins girded. I ain't gonna sit here and tell you that it's always easy to say some of the things that I say or bring up some of the ideas, because I challenge people in a way that they've not been challenged before. I challenge some ideas. I challenge some thoughts. I challenge some things the way things people have told you your entire life. And I don't know about you, but if somebody told me some things my entire life, and now all of a sudden these things are challenged, maybe I build my life around those things you've been telling me. Maybe they were the foundation or the crux of how I got to be who I am. And now you're challenging that. Some people find it hard. So what they do is they rather than change, they just rather keep the status quo. This is why we see in our country that when some things come out as people being blatantly guilty of things, that what individuals are not found guilty. Why? Because people have a thing that they have decided that I have this and I'm going to hold on to this no matter what. Even if I'm wrong. I'm here to tell you today, brothers and sisters, if you are found to be wrong, it behooves you and it's to your advantage for you to change. Why? Because God can give you more in your latter than he can in your former. You know, and I think about the things that I've done. And when you think about some of the things that you've done, how many of you know that you've been blessed? Why? Because you've been willing to change. When we come to Christ, it requires a change. So when you know better, you do better. When you find out more, you do more. So this is why, you know, I tell people all the time, you know, all I did was find out what I really don't know. And the more I know, the more I realize that I don't know certain things. So therefore, I step back and say, okay, what must I do to humble myself under the hand of God to be able to learn more and go to the next level? This is where we're going today. So I want you to turn with me to 2 Samuel, and we'll start at chapter 11 and verse number 2. Again, that's 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse number 2. Let me switch it over to you all. For those who need a little Bible help here, y'all know my favorite one, theblueletterbible.com. It is a completely free, very nice thing, and we're in that space. Amen. So let me get you adjusted here. You know, I got to adjust every week. Because, you know, I'll be moving stuff around. All right. So we in 2 Samuel, chapter 11. Let me get rid of my name and all this stuff. You know, when we get back into space, God going to give me somebody who's going to do all this stuff for me. So I ain't got to be thinking, oh, turn that off, Peter. Turn that off and turn that off, you know, while we're doing this. Amen. All right. And it says this. I'm not going to read all of these verses because it's 11 through 16, but we're going to hit some of the highlights. And it says, and it came to pass in the eventide that David arose from out of his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and he inquired after the woman. And one said, is not that Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers, and he took her. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived, and she sent and told David and said, I am with child. And David sent Joab, saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was coming unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and he did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. And David said unto Uriah, go down to that house and wash their feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house and followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord and went not down into his house. Down into his house. And when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down into his house, David said, said unto Uriah, camest thou not from thy journey? Why this not going down into thy house? And Uriah said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in the tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open field. Shall then I go into my house to eat and drink and to lie with my wife, as thou livest and as thou soul liveth? I would not do this thing. And David said to Uriah, tarry he today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and tomorrow. And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him and made him drunk. And at even when he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of the Lord, but went not down to his house. And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by hand to hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter saying, yet ye will ride in the forefront of the hottest battle and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die. And when it came to pass, Joab observed the city. He assigned Uriah unto a place where he went. He knew that the valiant men were. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab. And there some fell of the people of the service of David. And Uriah the Hittite died also. Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you right now, Lord. Just want to say we thank you, Lord. We thank you for a tremendous opportunity to be before your people again. Lord, I ask that you help us, Lord Jesus, to expound and give this word how you have us to give it. Lord, I ask you watch them and keep your people, Lord. You let them absorb, Lord, you wish that the Spirit says this to them on this day. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. All right. I said I wasn't going to read all of that, but I changed my mind because I know some, you know, for some, this may be the only way they get it. Amen. So I want to talk to you from the subject today, if I could, for a little bit. What was my subject? In her defense, I want to talk to you from the subject, in her defense, a case for Bathsheba. In her defense, a case for Bathsheba. So here, like I said, there's some who will argue with you and go back and forth and say that she was a woman of color and she was this. Well, you know, the truth of the matter is every person in that region was probably a person of color. You know, we already know that from the history books, but exactly what, as we, way we like to describe race, what race she was in or what she was of, we cannot definitively conclude that because I didn't live there. You didn't live there. So what we have to do is go off of what we can find and what the people say. But the evidence that's from the region would support that she's definitely a woman of color. In fact, she is a beautiful woman of color. Well, I notice here, you know, the Bible never tells us that she was really beautiful, did it? Let me scroll back up here. So sometimes, you know, we come with these things and we come up with stuff. It's like, hey, you know what? She must have been pretty for him to do all that for her. You know, she must have been this and she must have been that. Well, it says she was very beautiful to look upon. Yes, she was. Sorry. So I'm sorry, I skipped that part. That was in 11, too. It was in the first verse. But at any rate, so he finds that she was beautiful to look upon. We know that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. But I can tell you from a man's point of view, any woman, if he's not homosexual, any woman would get a man's attention if she's naked. God wired us like that. That's how it is, right? And so, you know, like this is adult programming, amen. But nonetheless, but we find that David's in a unique position. And I know, you know, I always find it, you know, stranger, but also encouraging at the same time that the Bible talks about David being a man after God's own heart. And the only thing that qualifies David for being a man after God's own heart, he knows that when he messes it up, he knows how to get God's attention. He understands that the mess up requires a sacrifice. He understands where he's falling short requires him to give his all. So David was what? A worshiper. So David went hard. He was one of those ones I would say that he was all in or all out. Whatever he did, he went all the way in. David didn't do anything halfway. If David was in battle, David went all in. If David was praising the Lord, he went all in. If David was fighting Goliath, he went all in. If he was killing lions, he went all in. If he was playing the harp, he went all in. And when he was stealing other people's wives, he went all in. We know that, you know, when you look at the Bible tells us that, you know, David had a sexual problem. There was no question about it. David loved women. He had a couple of wives. Mm-hmm. And in fact, that when David was dead, the way they verified that the king was dead was they sent in a young virgin. Again, I told you, it didn't matter who it was. They sent in a young virgin. And when he did not rise to the occasion, they said, truly, the king must be dead. Because there was no way that they could send a naked virgin into his presence and he'd not be aroused. Oh, come on, somebody. So y'all going to help me preach this today. So here, when I find myself, and I was looking at this story and I was thinking to myself, I got into what I call Perry Mason mode. I don't know about you, or maybe I'm dating myself, but I remember as a kid, it was this show that used to come on TV called The Perry Mason Show. And what Perry Mason was, he was a lawyer and he would go around and he was fighting these cases and this kind of thing. And, you know, at one point I thought about being a lawyer. But, you know, I didn't really like law and I don't like a ton of writing anyway. So I figured that wasn't going to be for me. But if I would, let me put on my lawyer hat today. And when I find out in the lawyer, the burden of proof is really on the is on the prosecutor, I do believe here. But I want to give you I will present to you this in such a way that may give you cast some doubt on Bathsheba. So we find that here, if you go out and you read the rest of this story, you find out that Bathsheba does in fact have a son. This son does not make it as a result of the sin. That baby dies. The one that she's pregnant with right now that we stopped off at, that baby dies. But then later on, God does what? God does something miraculous. He allows her to give birth to Solomon. Solomon, we know, is what, be one of the richest men ever to live. Also to be what? One of the wisest. So even out of that, something good still came out of that. And I'm here to tell you today that you might find yourself in a bad situation. You might find yourself in circumstances and situations, but even in all that you're doing, just know that what? God still can make something good out of that. So don't give up. Don't just throw in the towel. Don't just throw yourself away and say, well, you know what? I done messed up my life. No, God can still get something good out of it. Solomon came out of that marriage. Even though it started out in a bad situation. It started out as adultery. It started out as cheating. It started out as a fight. It ended in a murder. But yet God still get the glory at the end because he allowed Solomon to come out of that union. But if you read the story of David, you find that David has stuff throughout his whole house. So if I was a lawyer and I was presenting the case for Bathsheba today, I would start out number one with David's background. Well, you know, if you know anything about David, you find that David was a lonely child, that David was short. He was ruddy. He was not the best looking guy. He was kind of red because they called him, you know, ruddy. He was short. And he would, like I say, he wasn't a looker, but he was the one that they stuck out there in the field to take care of things. He was an outcast. He was an outshouter. But what God saw fit, because he saw David's heart. He knew David, when David did things, he had what? Some period, he had, you know, he went all in. He was pretty pure about whatever, whether it was good or bad, but David was pure. God is looking for somebody who's willing to, what? I'm willing to do it all. And this is why God, I believe, now this is Peter Ely 101, I believe this is why God chose to use David to bring even what? Jesus Christ comes out of that lineage. Come on, somebody from the tribe of Judah. Something good can happen out of something bad that happened to you or that you find yourself in. So now we find that David has all these things. David, like some of you know, is a sheep herder, but David what? Has a strong propensity for murder. You know, murder. He was, you know, killing people in battle. And some say, well, it's in battle. Yeah, I get that, but it still happened. Okay. But David also was what? He found himself to be very talented. So David was so much talented, so that what? He could play the harp, and God would use the harp to what? To drive the evil spirits out of people. This is why we got to be careful about the music we listen to. Music can program and deprogram you. You can't just listen to any and everything. Why? Because music does that. I had to give credit where credit due. I had to give G. Craig Lewis credit on that one. Now, I might not like everything he says, so I'm not, you know, promoting him, but I got to give credit. You know, you'll find me, I don't take people's credit. If you did it, you did it. If you did it well, you did it well. And I acknowledge it and we go on. All right. So the music. So he plays what? Spears out of Saul, right? We know that Saul tries to kill him. So David has a past all these things. And if I was a lawyer and I'm presenting the case before Bathsheba, I'm presenting all of these things because people say, if you look at your history, then I can have we use your history to try to predict your future. One of the things I do in my analytical math stuff is that I use historical data to try to predict what the future tense would be. I try to make models to try to predict how things are going to go. And if I was to make a model for David's life, he would be considered at risk. He would be considered at risk. Why? He's at risk for these things. Why? Because his family home was jacked up. Mm-hmm. Remember his brothers and all of them and his dad, and they had him out there in the field. That, you know, he was a loner. He went around. He was always fighting. Mm-hmm. And then he come up here. He's talented. But then all of a sudden, even when he's talented and when he's using his talent, then people want to attack him off his talent. Mm-hmm. Or then he also has this sexual problem. He just can never get enough. So he's probably a sex addict. If I was a lawyer, I'd be presenting all of this to lay my case to say, okay, look at this young lady here. So now let's talk about Bathsheba. We find Bathsheba, the Bible doesn't give us a whole bunch about her. But what we do find is that she was minding her own business. She was not so far, in fact, she was minding her business. She was in her home and she was taking a bath. If you know anything about the archaeological, the architecture of that day is that a lot of them have open roofs and open bathhouses. Why? So that the air can come in. So that, you know, there were four sides, but they would not be a roof sometimes. So he's what? He's the king. So David's now what? In a position of authority. And so much is sad that he has a monarch. He can do pretty much anything that he wants to do. The only king he answered to is what? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God himself. Right? David was feared. David, but they, you know, they even made songs about David. They would say, Saul kills his thousands and David kills his tens of thousands. David was the man. He had absolute power. He had absolute authority. You know, it's often said that absolute power corrupts absolutely. And we know that to be true. So now we find what? That David is on his rooftop. Because remember, the boys are out at battle. If you read verse 1, you find that they were out in battle. They were out fighting. So I would like to imagine that maybe David goes up top to look over the countryside. And when he's looking over the countryside, he gets an eye full that particular night of Bathsheba over there bathing herself. And he is so much so that he wanted to have her. That spoke to the pieces of him that wanted to have her. Now, remember, I told you that he has a track record. He has a history of what? Doing these kind of things that the women was his thing. Yes, he's a man after God's own heart. And I'm going somewhere with this today. You'll see it. We wrap this up. Yes, he was a man after God's own heart, but he had some issues. He had some problems. He had some addictions. He had some things that he struggled with. But it was David's faith that kept him whole. It was that he knew he could go back. So now when he goes in and he inquires, the Bible says he inquires about Bathsheba. And what does the record come back to say? Hey, David, she's a married woman. She's off limits to you, remember? And what does David do? In fact, David does what? He goes and he gets her to come. The Bible said that what? He told her to come to the house. And she came into the house, right? And the Bible said he lay with her. Now, mind you here, if you're Bathsheba, this is the king. He speaks to one person. Only God tells him what to do. Now, whether he listens or not is something different, but only God tells him what to do. I ask you, brothers and sisters, if you brought that into modern day time, and you brought this Bathsheba into 2021, and she was in the face of a powerful, let's say, for instance, Saudi Arabian prince or somebody. How many choices do you think she has? I'm just speaking in her defense. Do you think she had a choice to refuse to sleep with the king? I'm asking. Do you think she had a choice to say, you know, I know I'm not going? Because at this point in time, she does not know why she's going to the king's house. She's been summoned by the king. When you're being summoned by someone of authority, if the president of the United States was to call me right now, I wouldn't know what I would be going for. My mind would be racing, like, oh my goodness, did I do something? You know, to me, either I did something or I'm going to be promoted or something. I don't know. Ask yourself that. So you go what? Blindly. Because remember, she had no thought of David. She was minding her own business. This wasn't like this was a long-term affair. This wasn't like something that was being drawn out. This was not like there was something that was pre-planned. He called her. She's in the presence of the king. What do you do when you go to the presence of the king? You bow down. So she gave up her will to answer his. Now, here's the part that kind of when it gets a little tricky. This is the part where it gets a little hot, because now the Bible says she lay with him. And I can't help but think, maybe did she resist him? Or maybe she felt so overwhelmed because of the power, the authority, and who he was that she felt like, I had to do it because this was not going to end well for me. This was not going to end well for my husband that I know is out in battle right now, and he's out here fighting, and maybe David does something to him. Maybe she didn't have any options. Oh, I know I'm messing with some of you right now, but I'm asking you, look in your Bible. I challenge you. My job is to inspire you to open that book and look at it harder than you ever looked before. I'm not saying that I'm for or against, but I'm just saying, what if I was in her defense? What if you look at this and she comes in there? So now she sleeps with him because she's the king and she's thinking it's done. But not only does she not leave with the spirit of David inside her, but she also leaves with that seed of David inside her. The Bible said, she was left unclean. She came in purified, but she left unclean, meaning that what? Remember, it's not what goes into a man, but what comes out that makes him unclean. So now what came out of him is now being carried in her. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, y'all, is the spirit speaking to some folk this morning? Mm-hmm. And now she carries that back, and now it's manifested. That which was unclean, now it's inside of her. Now it's starting to manifest itself. Because now she goes back and she goes what? She tells and sends word to David, I am indeed with child. Now, what David thought was going to be a one-night stand, what he thought was going to be a one-night situation, that he just got what he got and was going to be done, now things change. Now he has sonship potentially coming from another source. He has another baby on the way. He has a baby mama issue now. PM, as y'all call it, right? So now what does he do? Now, here, again, this is another opportunity that maybe Bathsheba could have stepped up and said, hey, you know what, king, you're not going to do this, and this is happening, and this, but we never find where she does that. Or maybe she did. We don't know. she really could have. There is reasonable doubt. What if Bathsheba said, no, you're not going to give Uriah. I'm just going to tell Uriah that, hey, I went out there. I got pregnant. You the king. The king could have just taken the woman like he did and just did whatever he wanted to do and not even breathe a word of it. But David and his slickness, why? Because he wanted to keep his profile. He wanted to keep his standing in the community because people were talking. I'm quite sure people were talking. They knew Bathsheba was up in there. The folk be looking. Y'all think you slipping and sliding and you're going to the club and you in the DMs and all this stuff. People are looking. They know. Uh-oh, something failed here. They know. I don't think they messed with our internet, dude. All right, we still on. Okay, my router failed. As long as we didn't get to break the connection, we good. So people be, they know. You think you're getting away with it. Folk are watching. It ain't nothing you can get away with anymore. So here, David and his what trying to get away with it, instead of confronting his sin, he did what? He made it worse. How did he make it worse, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. He made it worse by what? Compounding it. Some of you find yourselves in situations today that you've done of your own doing. I'm here to tell you today, stop it. Stop compounding the situation. Deal with it. Take your medicine and go on. If not, you're going to make it far worse than it needed to be. You know, I'm thinking, what if you're, if Bathsheba goes and says, well, David, I'm just going to tell you, right? But no, David has already made a plan to himself. So maybe she bows down to his authority again because he is the king. So one of the points I want you to walk away with, number one, I want you to know that we're looking at an abuse of authority. Look at those in your life who abuse authority. Be careful of them. Of authority, abuse of authority. It could be your husband can abuse his authority. Me as a husband, you know, I'm over my house. But I can abuse my authority. Even the Bible speaks of this. When we was in Ephesians 6, it says that what? Fathers, do not promote your children to wrath. That tells me that as a dad, there's some things I can do to make my children so mad that I have them going nuts and doing things that would be outside of their character to do. I, as a father, have that kind of power. Me and you, as the princes and kings of your home, you have that kind of power. Do you abuse it? Talking to you. Do you abuse power? Pastors. We have pastors all over. Do they abuse power? It's an easy thing to do. I'm not saying that because David did not start out with this intent. But the truth of the matter is, we find several instances where he abuses his power. And he what is almost hereditary. Why? Because of the kingship, because the kings before him did the same thing. We find that Saul, no, he didn't do this piece, but Saul had other stuff that he did. Now, David, what, follows up behind Saul. We find out later on that what? We get Solomon, and Solomon becomes king, and Solomon has his set of issues and power abuse too. So we must be mindful of that. So number one, I want you to write down with you today, if those who take notes, I want to talk about abuse of authority. When you see it and when you can identify it. Because the truth of the matter is, we really don't know, but what if the authority was being abused by David? What if we as husbands abuse our authority? The first thing we lose is what? Respect. For men, I'm here to tell you all, ladies, if you haven't figured that out, respect is a big thing for men. We've seen people get killed over tennis shoes. And it's not the fact about the tennis shoe, it's that I feel disrespected. Now, respect means a lot of different things to a lot of different people, but respect is a big thing. Respect is a thing in the kingdom of God. This is what the Bible talks about, reverence God. Reverence is not, fear of God is, fear is not that I'm scared of him, but I respect who he is. I respect his power. I respect his authority. I respect his majesty. But we talking about abuse of authority. We see abuse of authority even in our highest land that we've, this for the last 4 or 5 years, had a president that did whatever, unchecked. Yet we still cannot hold people accountable. Right? Accountability matters. Abuse of authority. You know, we have, sometimes we have pastors and we have people who God has given their spirit to, and God has given his spirit to, and they have wonderful gifts and things, and they have us hopping and falling all out of the floor and all this stuff. And then what? They come right back and do some crazy stuff and abuse authority. This is why, brothers and sisters, we got to be careful. We pray for those pastors. I said, you all pray for me. I'm in that boat. I have some authority. and it can easily be abused. Not intentionally, but it can be. It's very easy to do. And for you not to be there, if you are not there, you don't understand how easy it is. This is why we should be praying for our leaders, our world leaders, saved, unsaved, whatever. Why? That they don't get in a position that where they use this authority. We know many have gone to prison and all kinds of stuff they've been called in, and people mishap. Do whatever they want to do. But at the end of the day, remember that our system is not God's system. Our thoughts is not his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. We're talking about Bathsheba, a case in her defense. So maybe she was in that room, and when she found out what David wanted, that he wanted to sleep with her, maybe she was in that room, and maybe she was trying to fight him off, and David just overtook her because, well, he's the king. We don't know. Maybe David even, let me say this, maybe David even raped her. Now, the Bible didn't tell us that. But these are the things that we don't know. So you don't know, you don't know. Or maybe it was consensual. Well, maybe it was consensual under some cloud of terms. See, so we have to be careful not to judge people, right? And I'm careful not, and I'm learning more and more every day, not be careful how to judge people, because you don't know how they got where they got, or what they're in, and how they got there. Because as I spend more time, and you know, as I learn to be a pastor and people come to me and talk, I find out that people got in some bad situations, some of them of their own doing, some of them are not. Remember, Bathsheba didn't ask to come there. She was at home taking a bath, probably preparing to go to bed. And it was David who got an eye for, like, come bring her over here. Because someone said, well, why would she be up there? But if the king summoned her, he had absolute power. So he could literally do whatever it is that he wanted to do. And did. But, you know, but since he was God's man, though, you would hope that what, that he didn't abuse it. And in this case, it's David's flesh. Bible talks about what? It's our lust of our eyes that leads us at some point to what? When that lust is conceived, it becomes sin. It was David's lust that drove him away. Right? It was his lust that got him disconnected from God. So much, and so that way, he started making crazy decisions. So now, but this time, what, we find that Uriah is gone, right? Uriah is out in the field. Now, mind you, point number two I wanted you to write down today is Bathsheba missed her chance. Bathsheba missed her chance. Number two, she missed her chance. What do you mean? What if Bathsheba tells David no? Maybe she did, but I'm just saying, what if we just know the family? We could say the family that she told David no. Would we be reading more about her today? I think we would. What if she told David, said, no, my cookies belong to my husband and he's gone and you cannot have any of them. And David got mad and just crushed the cookies. What if he just got it? You know, he just got mad. When I mean crush, kills her, because he could have did that. He's the king. Absolute power, absolute authority. If he would have killed her, she would have gone down as a martyr. And we will all know the fullness of her story. We'll be speaking right now, just like we talk about Esther. Come on, somebody. You know how we talk about Esther and how Esther saved the people, and God used Esther to save my people because Queen Vashti had gotten off and all this kind of stuff. But what if, I'm challenging you today, what if she said no and David has her killed? Because he could have. Even after he did what he did, he could have. But he fell in love with her by then, right? So what if he does that? She will be a heroine in the Bible. We'll be talking about this story much, much differently. Other than, because most of the time when we talk about David by sheep, we usually talking about her sin. We usually talking about how she ended up being with David. And we tried to make the story that it was like something that she would just walk around and say, oh, David, come over. Oh, yeah, I want you. And then she just rolled over there because he's the king and she threw herself at him. And you got to imagine during that time, just like now we have celebrities, that people throw themselves at celebrities. Why? Because they want what they want, or they're attracted to the power. People throw themselves at preachers and prophets and all this kind of stuff. Why? Because they're attracted to the authority that they have. Come on, somebody. Y'all know this is true. Am I helping? Please tell me if I'm helping anybody today. Y'all put something in the chat. Let your boy know that I'm helping. Or if I'm not, then I'll just go ahead and cut it short. No, I'm not. I'm giving because this is what God gave me to give. But at any rate, what if she says no? The Bible in that story reads very differently, doesn't it? It can read very differently. So what am I saying to you? Don't miss your opportunity, ladies. What I'm saying to you, men, don't miss your opportunity. That it comes a point in each one of our lives that you have the opportunity to say yes, and you could have said no. No, y'all, I remember some years, about 5 or 6 years ago, that thing sat at my doorstep. I had the opportunity to say yes or no. And I said yes with the intent that I could have gone, and those who know this story, you know, I could have gone to prison. It could have been really, really bad for me. Something that was an accident, but you know, as they say, the law, there's no accident, there's only negligence. And I would have been negligent. There was no question about that. But God in his mercy, God in his grace, oh, come on, somebody. God in his majesty, God in his ultimate authority and judgment on my life said not so, because I trusted him. I'm asking you today, what situation are you in right now that God can get the glory out of your life by you saying yes? What situation are you in right now that God can get the glory out of your life by you saying no to a thing? Because I just say that question often, what if Bathsheba would have said no? What if she would have fought and David would have killed her, or raped her, or anything? We'll know the story much differently. And you'll probably look at David much differently too. Because what we find out as you go on, that there is rape and incest even in David's own house. But yeah, he's a good man after God's own heart. So why do I keep saying this? Because I want you to get you to see that you all, the things that you're dealing with, the things that you discount yourself about, the thing that you thought that you threw in the towel, the thing you said, God cannot ever use me. I'm here to tell you today that David continually messed up. And God said he's still a man after his own heart. So that tells me that you and I have opportunity. It tells me that you can see God's grace on your life. I don't care how bad it's got. I don't care who you got murdered. I don't care who you killed with your tongue. I don't care who you slept with. I don't care how many times you screwed it up. But there is still an opportunity for you. Because if David can be a man after God's own heart, I know certainly that you and I can have a right to get to the kingdom. And yet still Jesus Christ comes through the lineage of David. 42 generations, we read in Matthew 1. Yet you discounted yourself. Stop discounting yourself. He can still use you. I'm talking about in her defense. What if she had a second opportunity? When she goes and she says word to David, she could have just kept her mouth shut and had David's baby and not said nothing, because we see this happen all the time. And David wouldn't have known nothing about it. Uriah would have came home. Maybe she would have made Uriah think that that was his baby. But she knew at this point now, because he was the king, that she was carrying what? Kingship inside of her? She was carrying kingship. So therefore, she what? The kingship inside of her says, speak to the king. She speaks to the king. He's acknowledging it. Not only does he acknowledge the baby, he tries to fix it. But notice this. He did not want to take ownership. So I know some people say, well, you got these sorry men out here. He don't even want to say it's his baby. I'm here to tell you today, King David didn't want to say it was his either. But he got forgiven, so you could be too. Am I making any sense to anybody today? Oh, I'm just showing you all, because the Bible is here, for us to be able to read, right? And to think about these things. If you hadn't been to the Safe House Church, yeah, I'm sorry, y'all. We just a church. You know, we shout, we do our thing on, but we think about these things. Why? Because it matters. I want to see real world application to what the Bible talks about today. And I'm here to tell you today that we got a baby mama drama. We got a side chick issue. Oh, come on, somebody. We got an illegitimate child here trying to pawn the baby off on somebody else. As Kanye said one time, you're going to come 18 years later, you're going to find out the baby's not even his. Oh, come on, somebody. Y'all, I know. I'm sorry. I just try to reach everybody. 18 years later, find out the baby's not his. Yeah. Say, you ain't changed your gold digger, right? But at any rate, she tells him. So now what does he do? He tries to get Uriah to come back home. Uriah is doing what? Out fighting on the behalf of the king. Woo, I had too much fun with these things, y'all. He's out fighting on the behalf of the king. And he's so faithful to a fault. How many of us found ourselves sometimes we've been so faithful to a fault? And I tell you today, I've been in that space. And I know sometimes you get the bad, it seems like the bad end of the stick. And in this case, Uriah lost his life. He didn't have any children. He had a beautiful wife. But all those things aside, the king work was before all of that for him. Some of us have sacrificed our families for king work. Some of us have sacrificed our children for this kingdom work. And we said, well, we're doing it for God. And the same very people we said we're doing it for God, you know, they cuss you out. They don't want to pay tithes sometimes. You ask them to do things, they don't want to, you know, all these same very same people. Yeah, you sacrificed your house. This is what Uriah did. I'm just asking some questions today. So I want you to open your Bible. Think about it. I'm not saying that you quit, you step down. No, because the call is the call. If God put the call on your life, that's the call on your life. But I'm here to tell you that people do whatever people want to do and leave you holding the bag. So David and what? They slept with her, took her cleanliness from her. Now she's pregnant, and he about to leave her with the entire bag. In fact, he said, go get your husband. No, basically, go get her husband. And what does he do? As the king, he orders Uriah to do what? To go home and sleep with his wife. Watch this. Now, this is why we're still talking about Uriah to this day. Because Uriah said yes. He said yes to God. He said, nope, I'm not going to go home because I'm going to honor the king. Because what? The men that I'm serving with are in the field. That's what he said. In fact, now you think about it, this man got a drop dead gorgeous wife. He going to get to go home. She probably going to bake because she knows she done messed up too now, right? Y'all know how it is when you done messed up. I can tell when somebody in my house done messed up, they all extra, extra nice all of a sudden, right? Y'all know when I messed up, I get extra nice too. That's what we do. Because we're trying to soften the blow, right? So she would have probably came home and ran him a hot bath because he was out in battle. Watched that stinky battle and the sweat and the stench of death that was probably on him from being in battle. She would have combed his hair. She would have laid down rose petals. Why? Because she was going, she needed to fix this thing for that thing that her and David did. Right? So what did we find? All these things have been laid out for him, Uriah. But what did Uriah say? Nope, not going to do it. And you can't make me do it. So now at this point, what does the king do? The king is stuck. He is stuck. This guy would not go home and go sleep with his supermodel wife. What in the world is wrong with him? All I had to do was look over the balcony and I saw and I had to have her. And you here because you want to go fight? That was his loyalty to the king. Some of us have been so loyal to people, whether, in our marriages, and you should be, in relationships with other people who give a hoot about us. Sometimes in ministries that, forgot what they had and just, forgot the whole point of why the ministry was what it was. We can all lose focus. David lost focus. I'm not saying David was bad, but he did a lot of bad stuff. I can lose focus. I have lost focus from time to time. You can lose focus. It's part of life. We all go through those ups and downs, those ebbs and flows, as they call it. But what does David do? He goes back. He brings Uriah in, and he gets him drunk this time. Oh, certainly he's drunk. This is why I tell you all, abstain from that stuff. Why? Because it affects your ability to reason. So he intentionally what gets him drunk so he can go in and forget all about what he said he won't going to do. This is why people drink and all this stuff. They do this to what? They say to calm their nerves, to ease their worries. Why? Because they don't want to think about the things that they have to think about. It's a coping mechanism. But I'm so glad I got Jesus to cope with. So then he goes on and he says this. So then he goes in and he gets him drunk and sends him back home. And what did Uriah do? He still didn't touch him. See, when you've decided that you've made your vow to the Lord, when you've decided that, Lord, I know I can't keep myself, but Lord, I want you to keep me. Are you serious about that thing? God will keep you, brothers and sisters. I'm a living witness. I ain't been perfect. I missed the mark a bunch. But woman of God, if you desire to be kept, man of God, if you desire to be kept. And this is just not from sexual immorality. This is from anything. He can keep you. So here, Uriah, even through all of this, when he should have just went in there and did that, he was kept. He was kept. It did not happen. So now what? Now the king is really, he's flabbergasted at this point. What am I going to do? What is he going to do? So now he comes up with this thing. You know what? I got to get rid of him. See, the baby was going to die. But maybe the baby would have lived if David didn't kill Uriah. This is premeditated murder. Think about it. If we judge David according to 2021 standards, y'all would want to throw him under the jail, give him an electric chair, lethal injection, all this stuff. That's how bad y'all would want to give David the business today if he was born today. And I'm telling the truth. Y'all know I am. But here it is. Now remember, he's the king. Kind of reminds you of another situation we've been going through. King, he's above everybody. But he's not above God. God can deal with that blood. So I know some of you are discouraged. Y'all see what's going on in our country, and it seems like, you know, we got to tell our children that people who've done bad things do not be held accountable. I'm here to tell you today, God has a justice that's above all our justice. He has a way of putting things together. You and I do not need to worry. They'll get what's coming to them. I ain't got to do anything. You ain't got to do anything. God holds the word. He said, the Bible says that he holds the king's heart in his hand and he turned it whatever way he may. Right? So you ain't got to worry about that. And I'm preaching today to you all today. I didn't even know what was going on yesterday, was going to go on today, but it fits right into this story, our abuse of power. But she has the opportunity to, even in the abuse of power, somebody could have stood up and said, no, this is not going to happen. But she didn't. So that's why we know very little about her. But if you notice, Uriah stood up and he said, no, I'm not going to do this. And what do we do? The next 8, 9 verses is about who? Bet you didn't ever notice that. Uriah. So the Bible talks about Uriah for almost 10 verses. And we see Bathsheba by what? 2. But if she would have made a stand, even against the king, when you know it's wrong, come on, somebody. When you know something is wrong and you decided, okay, I know this might potentially get me killed. This could potentially take me out. This is not going to put me in their good graces, but I'm going to take a stand for what I know is right. We would have been reading about her longer today. In her defense, though, she did. Because maybe it was just too much for her on the authority, though. But Uriah did. Because the king told him, what, go home and sleep with the wife. He said, nope. My men are in battle. So what did it do? David sends back out the word. He puts in there while Uriah is asleep. He sends a note back by Uriah. Uriah being the man he is, he don't open the note. He just does whatever the general tells him to do. Joab, right? And Joab, the note tells Joab to do what? Put him on the front line. What if, come on, write this down. What if Joab makes a different decision? Do y'all not see all these decisions that could have been a little different? But what happens is people help those who abuse authority. I'm telling you, how do you stop people from abusing authority? I'm not saying you just straight up be disobedient, but there's opportunity when you know you're doing something that's contrary to the word of God. Because we serve a higher power. We serve a higher authority. We serve somebody what who's above all that we can think or ask. At least that's what y'all say. But I'm challenging you today. Ain't that what you say? You serve him? Or do you want to serve him when it's convenient? Yeah, the wheels should be spinning. These are questions you got to ask you. Do you just serve him when it's nice? Do you just serve them when they out prophesy and they handed out prophecies 2 for $1?
Oh, I know I'm challenging some of you today, but in her defense. Because Joel could have saw that. Well, King, I'm not going to put him out there because he knew what was going on. Notice, what did the Bible say? He told Joel to go get the woman. If I'm not mistaken, I got it right here. Yep, Joel, he told him to go get it. He told Joel to go get her. Joab knows exactly what's going on. How many of you have been enablers to people who abuse authority? Got to ask yourself the question. Have I been an enabler to people who abuse authority? Have I been an enabler? Why? Because now, the truth of the matter is, if we was in today's thing, 2021, the way people come out the folk now, Joab going to jail too for conspiracy. Y'all didn't know, I know you never heard the story like this. Happy Valentine's Day. All right? It's truly a love story. It's a tragic love triangle here. It's ridiculous. Tell y'all, the Bible is full of these kind of stories. So now, Joab would have been on conspiracy or association, and he would have got just as much as David, right? But what does he do? He does what David tells him to do. They stick Uriah up front. They knew they were going to get them guys up front. They were getting killed every day. This was no secret. But they were too cowardly. See? This is why people use people. Because they're too cowardly to do their dirt themselves. So they use you because you're vulnerable. Because what? You were being loyal to them. You were so loyal. Your loyalty to a point that was blind. Uriah's fault here? Blind loyalty. What if you were that loyal to God like that? Or I talk to myself. I'm asking myself, what if I was that loyal to God like that? I like to think I'm loyal, but I know I got some issues. I got some ways that I can change. I got some things that I can, you know, dig a little deeper on. But what about you? I can talk for me. What about you? So Uriah falls to what? Blind loyalty. Some of you, you've seen the signs, you've heard the voice, you saw what was happening, yet you go nowhere. Why? Because this is what you're used to. This is what you've been taught. But what if what you were taught was wrong? What if you was taught was short? Because people only can teach what they know. And if they didn't know, they made the rest up. I established that for you last week. I find out more and more every day. I'm grateful for my apostolic bringing, but there are some things that they missed the mark on. You know, I can get upset about it, but at the end of the day, it's up to me to take it to the next level. All right, it was wrong. We fixed it and go on. So the next generation don't have to endure that. Why are you doing this? Because it's religious. We're doing this because this is what we always done. With nobody ever questioning why we doing what we doing. You ever question things in your life, say, Lord, why am I doing what I'm doing? Things in your family. Lord, why are we doing? Well, nobody ever said anything about it, so we always thought it was okay. And you know it's not. But we go with the status quo. Why? Because it's easier. God has called you and I to do some of the hard things, y'all. This is not an easy message for me to give you all. Yes. But it's necessary. Why? Because I need you to open your Bible and then know God for yourself. Yes, I'm pastor here. This is only for a season. At some point, God say, oh, it's time for you to move on. Or he may make me home my heavenly reward. I ain't trying to go no time soon. It's not my plan, but it's not my life anyway. So if he say, come home tonight, Peter, I just hope and pray, Lord, I've done everything you asked me to do, and I've dotted all the I's. I crossed all the T's, and I touched all the people that you wanted me to touch. And if that's done, then there's nothing else for me to do in there anyway. So I might go home and be ready to celebrate with the others when we come up in that great morning, when we hear that trumpet sound and we're called up to meet them in the air. Woo! Come on, somebody. That's what we're all striving for, right? At least that's what our mouths say. Mm-hmm. Y'all ain't never heard no preaching teaching like this, then, have you? Woo, boy, you know, when you let God make you who he wants you to be, you'll be uniquely you. I know I'm uniquely me. I'm scholar and pastor at the same time. It's all good. I've learned to embrace it. So now what? We find those 3 points. Abuse of authority. Your chance to say something different and falling blindly. The Bible says this, the blind leads the blind, if the blind follow the blind, that they both fall in the ditch. I'm asking you that. I've never told any of our members, follow me with reckless abandon. No. Yeah, I tell you, I don't say that. I said, follow me as I follow Christ. How you know if I'm following Christ? You like, watch what I do. Watch what I do and not what I say all the time. See, a lot of people are saying a lot of stuff, but they're doing stuff different. What I talk about and what I do should line up. They don't. Then you can question. It's your soul. You'll get but one. Yeah, we got one. You got one shot at this. I got one shot at this. So we got to get it right. Why? Your soul depends on it. So as I say today in closing, my closing argument as the lawyer for Bathsheba, certainly there's got to be reasonable doubt here not to find her guilty, because she could have, yeah, but the king called her. He has an ultimate authority, and he could just say, come up here, and she kind of has to go. But then she went, but no, she didn't say no, but, you know, in the moment, she felt overwhelmed, so maybe she kind of wanted, because, like, ooh, it'd be cool to be with a king, but not thinking about her poor little Uriah that's out there fighting on the behalf of the country so that they can have those freedoms and things that they have. But then the time goes on, but yeah, she did do the right thing. She just didn't go in the back room and try to abort the baby with a coat hanger. Oh, come on, somebody. She didn't run down to the clinic down here and do that. So she, I got to acknowledge that I got a problem. Just want to let you know, King, that, yeah, I'm carrying your child. And then when Uriah get home, I'm going to tell him about it. Uriah probably wouldn't have liked it, but he would have dealt with it. Mm-hmm. But instead, what she does, she tells the king, and then the king comes up with his own plan, tries to get rid of Uriah. Uriah and all his thing, like, Lord, I'm just so blinded. Connected to this thing that I don't see anything else that's going on in my house. I know something's going on with my wife. Why all of a sudden that they pulled me from the battlefield and asked me to go out here and be in this stuff? Why would I want to go from here and go be with my wife? And I'm thinking about these guys getting killed out in the field. I'm worried about, you know, when is my time going to come? Because I know if I stay out here long enough, that what, at some point I will be a pawn in this game. Because he's just a pawn in all of this, from this chess reference. So now what, all of this goes down, and I'm saying in her defense, maybe she didn't have many options. She didn't turn them down, no, because she was there, so she felt like she kind of had to. She got this, now she pregnant her baby. She knew she couldn't abort the baby, because then that would be killing a king's kid. So then she tells the king, and the king does what he does. But at the end of the day, it does kind of work out for her. Because what happens is now they go back. Uriah is dead. It's gone. David does get the girl at the end of the day. Some people say, well, see, I told you the bad guys finish first. No, they don't. Because then what God, as a result of this, David sins ever before him. People in the audience all know. All this day he was trying to cover for his political gain, to keep his political clout. He doesn't have anymore. The people know about what he did, and they look at him, and they despise him as king. Yes, he's still, oh, come on, somebody. You can still be an authority, but lost the power. Woo! There are people who are still in authority in name only, but have lost the power. I don't know about you, but I think I've heard Prophet Brian Korn put it this way. God is the only God who will fire you and let you still be working. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be working and been fired. Why? Because I don't get paid for that. I don't get paid for what I think I'm sacrificing over here. And God has already said, goodbye, you're fired. Do you want that to be you? Because the truth of the matter is, David's ministry, David's kingship was never the same after that. No, the baby's born, the baby dies. David knew the baby was going to die, so he's in all sackcloth and ashes and all this stuff, right? And this is how he gets back to God. This is why God calls him a man of his own heart, because he knows how to come back. But he had to go through all of that. Yes, he ends up marrying Bathsheba. Yes, they end up having Solomon, and Solomon come through. But David had trouble in all his house for the rest of his life. I don't believe that David died very, very happy. He had sexual issues, even so much so that they sent in the virgin. That's in your Bible. Keep reading. Said they sent in the virgin and said, yep, the king is dead. Yeah. So I go through all of this in closing to say to her, she had reasonable doubt. Some of you have reasonable doubt. Some of these things that happened to you, some of it was your doing, some of it was not. But how you reacted to it was definitely your fault. But I'm here to tell you today that God has provided a way of escape by his son named Jesus Christ. He has provided a way of escape. So if you're willing to say, Lord, forgive me for my sins, those sins that are known and unknown to me, things that I've done that was contrary to your word. Lord, I want you to come into my heart. Lord, fill me with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Lord, go down and baptize in the beautiful name of Jesus that all your sins be washed away, according to Acts 2 and 38. And then take this journey with us over here at the Safe House Church or wherever you may be. You know, we're not perfect people. We have our faults. We have our issues. We have our shortcomings. Sometimes I'm mad. Sometimes I'm happy. Sometimes I just want to be left alone. But I'm here to tell you today that we're people after God's own heart. Like David, we don't get it right all the time. We mess it up a lot more sometimes than we get it right. But I'm here to tell you that we're striving. That I know you're striving. Would you reach out to him today? Would you reach out to him today and say, Lord, I don't always get it right. But I know, Lord, that you live. And because you live, there is hope for me on tomorrow. I hope that this message has found you today. I hope that you found this message to be life-changing, life-provoking, thought-provoking for many of you. I know some of you, maybe you've not been taught like this or you haven't thought about it like this, but this is part of what God has given me here, and this is how we do every single Sunday here at the Safe House on Ministry. So I ask that, you know, if you want to be saved, just ask God to forgive you for your sins. Ask him to come in your heart. Let him fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God gives utterance by the speaking of tongues. And then also go and find a church to be baptized in the name of the beautiful name of Jesus Christ. So if you want to be baptized, give me a call. If you're local, we'll figure it out. Amen. We got places that we can go. If not, I'll talk you through the ceremony on the phone. Just get you somebody to put you somewhere. That's all it requires. It doesn't require that you have a fancy pool. It doesn't require that you have a fancy church. It doesn't require that you be there with the priest. It just that it requires only your faith. I can get you baptized over the phone with the husband and wife in your bathtub, because God honors your faith. It ain't about me dunking you. Who am I? I'm just another man. But it's your faith. It's your faith, brothers and sisters. It was David's faith that kept him coming back. And it's going to be your faith that's going to keep you coming back. God bless you all. I love you all. I hope that this has been a powerful word to you on this day. That you find yourself that even in her defense, it could have been different. It could be different than yours. Take him at his word. God bless you all. Love you all. And know this one thing, and this one thing to be true. And according to God and the late Apostle K.C. Price, for we walk by faith and not by sight. At this time, I ask that you all bless us in offering. God has put it on your heart to be able to bless us here in offering on today. Here at Safe House Church, we cash out. Safe House Church, GSO. Again, at Safe House Church, $SafeHouseChurchGSO, $SafeHouseChurchGSO. Or you can go to paypal.me/ministry8. paypal.me/ministry8. Anything you give will be going right back to this church to help this ministry to go forth and do what it is that God has called us to do. If you want to make a check payable or money order, that's what, Find the Fish Ministry, that's P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina, 27358. Again, that's Find the Fish Ministry, P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina, 27358. Amen. I'm just so grateful that even in all of this, y'all, we ain't had no power outages, that God allowed this message to go forth on today. Also, I want to remind you about the men's and the women's locker room. I know the women had met on Monday night of this past week. Tremendous time from what I understand. And my wife said they had a great time. And, hey, you know, as long as Sister Pam got electricity, my assumption is we're going to be on tomorrow. So this is every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Invite others. This is an open online space just for women. It's a private space. It's not on Facebook Live and nothing like that, but you can get a private link. So you just go to our church website at safehousechurchgso.com/women, or just go to, you know, safehousechurchgso.com, and you'll go in there and you'll see the link. It says women. Click women, register. That'll give you what they do. It'll send an email, a link to you. And when it emails that link to you, that'll give you the opportunity. Amen. It will give you the opportunity to go in
and give you the link that you need to be able to get on Monday night. So I ask that you do that. Me in Locker Room, every Thursday night, Pastor Biggles and I are there just chopping up the Word of God and just talking about men stuff. Amen. So go Locker Room. Same way you get there, go to Safe House Church, GSO, Men's Locker Room. Amen. All right. I hope all is well with you all, that you've had an amazing time here in the Word of God on today. I ask that you all be safe, stay warm, be careful out here. It's very, very dangerous on these roads right now, especially if you're in our area and other places. You all continue to pray for me as I pray for you. I'm praying for you all. You all hold me up in prayer. I ask that you all that I can continue to be the servant that God has called me to be in this dark, last, and evil day. You all take care. I love you all, each and every one of you all. God bless you all. And Lord's will, remember on Wednesday night, we are almost finishing up with the book of Ephesians. Wednesday night, we're going to get into the part where we talked about slavery. Ooh, it's going to be heavy. Amen. So I didn't want to get into that without, you know, going, giving that credence. So God bless you all. Love you all. And you all just have an amazing, amazing day. Take care. Bye.
Thinking about the world, looking at the nation, suicide, genocide, homicide. Three words come to mind, times are changing, yeah. No more rumors, there are wars going on. Twisted doctors, scientists making clones. Economy got some backs against the wall.